All right, let's begin today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. That will be my introductory text for today. Yesterday we began our 3-day seminar on how to work for God. And with the emphasis I laid yesterday, number one is in the issue of motive. Why is it that people want to work for God? What really is it that they are looking for? I said, number one, before I said that it's very important that we know how to work for God, that even though we think sincerity is first, that sincerity is very important, most certainly, but it's not the only thing. We must know the proper procedure. Ecclesiastes said that there is a proper procedure for every event. That is, there are different ways people may want to do things, but there's a way that is proper. I like the way Miles Monroe said it, that when he got his degree, God told him that, all right, what you have is a degree. In effect, out of 360 degrees, you have one. Do you understand my point? That there are many things you don't know yet. And like for my own interpretation of that is that it shows that there are 359 ways to go wrong and only one way to go right. Do you understand my point? That is, if God says go in a particular direction, if you don't ask questions, the chances that you'll be wrong is 359 out of 360. What you naturally try to achieve yourself when it comes to working for God is wrong. Let me say that again. The normal human method of trying to please God is wrong. That's why David said, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, it must be taught to you. It doesn't come to you naturally. We discussed that yesterday. Let me not go over it again. So that when David was going to carry the ark, he was not careful. He said, we did not seek him after the due order. Therefore, God burst out on us with his anger because things went wrong when they did not seek him after the due order. Are you getting my point? Now, those are the things we discussed yesterday. And I said, the number one reason why people try to work for God is that they want to please him. They want to put him in their debt. They want to do things, all right, that will make God want to bless them. And I said, God judges the heart. We read from Jeremiah chapter 17 that motives are very important before God. And I said that people say that give and you will get. I say, but he never said give so that you might get, because there's a world of difference. When you give, let me say this again. I said this one yesterday. I said, following God, there's a danger. We have to be careful. So we have to be, you know, do things properly. If you do the right thing, God will bless you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Let me say it again. If you do that which is correct, you are guaranteed of God's blessings. However, if you do that which appears correct, because of the blessings that we accrue, you get nothing. Did you hear what I said? Anyone who's doing something, my favorite illustration is that, listen, if everybody heard that the widow of Zarephath was blessed because she entertained Elijah, the widows now bring their last meals to Elijah, believe me, they will have gotten nothing. I'm not discussing the widow of Zarephath again, but that's the principle about her life. People said that she gave only once and got tremendous results. I said, no, she was a habitual giver who had cried out to God because her deliverance was determined before Elijah left the brook of Cherith. That would tell you that it's not just that one time that she moved God like we tried to make it appear. No, it couldn't have been. God was moved before she met Elijah. That was why God spoke to Elijah and said, I'm sending you to a particular place. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. So motive, we said, is very important with God. And I said, let's not try to work for God so that he might feel happy with us and therefore pour a blessing upon us. That the time he loved you, you had done nothing. He said you were there squirming in your blood. Nobody was taking care of you. The issues of life had messed you up. Nobody was taking care how to wash you out from your iniquities. That was the time he shed his love upon you. You were loved from the beginning before you did anything. So don't try to make God love you more. For just being a child of God, you are loved. You are accepted in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. That is the gospel of Christ from faith to faith. This is how it works. People try to do works that they might please God. And Paul said, no, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the stamp of approval that God puts on your personality, on your person. If God says, this is a righteous man, what it means is that the person is doing everything correctly as far as God is concerned. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That is, what pleased God about his life was his faith. That's not the word righteousness. For God to look and say, you are right, that's what righteousness means. And the way by which you attained righteousness was by faith. Therefore, it is wrong for a Christian to think God will be happy with him because he's always going to church. And I said this one, that we center our activities around church, is a form of idolatry. It's just Christianized idolatry. When a building is what's important to us, it is Christianized idolatry. For the believer, I said yesterday, there's no difference between what is spiritual and what is secular. Don't ever forget that. There's an error, a mistake we make a lot of times. We think the pastor is serving God. I told a story yesterday when my chief and I were speaking. I said, "Chief, don't you want to prosper and drive a big car?" She said, "Yes." I said, "So why can't the pastor have that also?" He says, "Working for God." I said, "Who are you working for?" The fact is that you are working for God as much as he's working for God. And I like to say this, though it's not a very pleasant thing to say. These days, a lot of preachers, a lot of ministers of the gospel are just as not working for God as a lot of secular people are not working for God. I'm thinking about starting something up, you know, like ministry is like for what I can get out of it. That's not working for God. We don't have time to go into details about that now, but every part of your life is a ministry. No, let me put it like this. Every part of life, there is a ministry, and there is a minister that God has appointed for every part of life. You have left everything you have to do this evening to come and attend a 3-day seminar that I told you I will be the one teaching. You knew I would be the one teaching. You came because I'm the one teaching. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, there's a place you will go. There's a place I take my car to because I know the mechanic that will attend to it. To keep me moving is a ministry, believe me. It's a ministry. There are places you will take your children to for school because you know the kind of person that they will meet there. That's a ministry. And every believer must be careful to note that every part of life is a ministry. I'll discuss that one further, maybe if we can get there today, about the fact that secular work, what we call secular work, is the work of God. I said about Daniel. Daniel was not known for being a prophet. It's you and I now that know him as a prophet. In those days, in Babylon, his reputation was not that he was a prophet. His reputation was that if you have a difficult problem, call Daniel. His reputation was that if you put this man in government, there will be no corruption. His reputation was that in the affairs of the king, there was no negligence found in this Daniel. It is you and I that read his writings today and say he was a prophet. The people in Babylon were not concerned about the prophetic office or the anointing of the prophet that was upon Daniel. Are you getting my point? The most important ministry in his day, all right, that he performed was in secular business. He was a minister, like we say in Nigeria, of the Federal Republic. The time that they plotted against him was when the king made up his mind to appoint Daniel as a prime minister so that he can rest properly. For the believer, listen to me, let me say clearly. If you're a school teacher, it's a ministry. If you're a preacher, it is a ministry. Are you getting my point? If you're a mother, it's a ministry. If you're a doctor, it is a ministry. If you're a politician, it's a ministry. I went to preach once in a church. And I don't know whether somebody said this or something led to it. And I said, a time will come and I'm going to do it. Please, I pray I don't forget. If I forget, someone of you should remind me. You know, we ordain ministers. You know that? We ordain ministers. If I tell you, at least before, listen to me. Before I started Our Kingdom World Ministries, I was ordained. You know, some of you say that, which denomination? Non-denomination. Do you get my point? But I was ordained. I don't have time to discuss it. I was. I gathered my friends, my seniors, those who knew me while I was a child. One brother was talking to me on the phone the other day. He respects me a lot and I've been a blessing to his life by the ministry of the Word of God. He said the first time he met me, that he just said that, who is this? He's one of our friends, our sisters in fellowship those days. Went for alumni fellowship. And he said she heard Mommy Ann say, "Hey, Blackie. He said, "Who is this Blackie that Mommy Ann is getting excited over?" He said, that was the first time he met me. Then they gave me a microphone to preach during that convention. And he fell in love with me instantly. Was I ordained? Yes. Mommy Han's husband was there. Kelechi. Reverend Chooks was there. A number of our friends. Courage was there. And I said, we're about to start out in ministry. I just got married. They knew I was anointed to teach. They knew I was going to preach. I said, the time has now come. So we gathered men, formed a circle. We knelt down in their midst, and they prayed for us and sent us forth. Now, I do not have a certificate. I don't. Do I need it? God knows I don't. Should I prove to you that I don't need it? You left everything you have to do today to come and sit down here. Why this nigga is preaching in your face? What, does that not prove to you I don't need it? Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. Now, I'm just bringing an issue here. Just by the way, Lester Sumrall said that's the proper way to ordain. Lester Sumrall, he was ordained as a young man. He said he was ordained by a man who didn't know him. Just said, now you're ordained. Put your hand upon him. He said, you are supposed to be ordained by those who know you, and they know that indeed you are called. You come out from a mist of people. That's where I was ordained from. That, but that's not my message. My message today is, that day I was in that church somewhere nearby here preaching. I don't know who started it, whether somebody said it, or as I was preaching, I said, I can't remember exactly who began this. I said, a time will come when we are going to begin to do this thing. What do I mean? Now, I was ordained that everybody felt it was okay because Banky is about to start a ministry of the word. I'm going to be preaching, so it's okay to ordain him. Are you getting what I'm saying? They will say, a time will come. This is what I say, we're going to start one day. A man will come out and say, Pastor, or my elders, my friends, I'm about to start out in the ministry of trading, of importation, of exportation, of manufacturing, of adding value to raw materials and selling finished products. I'm about to start out my ministry of earning a lot of money so as to help the widow, the fatherless, and to preach the gospel of God by financial support. So I'm about to start. So we'll say, okay, come. And we'll call the elders. And we'll take a bottle of oil and pour on his head. Listen to me. Men will succeed when we begin to do that. It is okay for us to gather around someone who is a minister. But we forget that we are all ministers. We read yesterday from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. It said that he gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Every saint is a minister. I have a proposal for the Church of God in Nigeria so that we'll stop getting disgraced by our brethren who go into politics. Although that should start with the pastors anyway. If I knew you today, you didn't have money. Tomorrow you become a local government chairman, you begin to give off a title of a millionaire, I should reject you. When I say praise God, God has prospered us because we have a rogue who left the midst of us to politics to go and steal money. That's why God can't do anything. Now, what am I trying to explain? The time will come when we'll call our young brethren who want to go into politics out and we'll ordain them as ministers in government. I don't know whether I get my point. And they will take vows. They will swear in our presence that it will not happen that I will take a cut from a contract before I sign it. They will swear in our presence. And then when they finish, we will tell them this is what we are demanding. That you will not gather houses for yourself. Because that's what God told the children of Israel. That when I give you a king, he must not multiply private property. He must not. He said he will take a copy of the law and be reading it day and night. That was God's commandment for the king that Israel was going to have. We have our own commandments for our brethren also who are going into politics. We want to be a counselor, local government chairman, House of Assembly member, a governor, senator, president. These are the things we are saying. You will make fair bills. You will never take money from a contractor so as to favor him. The person who will write those things down, he will take a vow in the midst of his brethren. And we are anointing with oil and we will send him forth. Then, listen to me, hear this. Anybody who dislikes him and therefore wants to either end his life or end his career through different means, are you getting my point? We just die for his sake. God will scatter political parties when men take such vows. You will understand the meaning of Psalm 2. When he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He said, they have made their plans. I hear all kinds of plans. People tell me about Nigeria all the time. And I keep on saying, I said, these people don't finish the end. I heard that these people from this particular religion, or this one, they have planned to take over Nigeria. And I said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Listen to me. There is nothing anybody can organize so as to frustrate the plan of God for a nation. Not the kind of nation that I'm living in and we are praying for. Are you getting my point? Look, that's a matter of fact. He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. You will find out that the biggest parties will collapse because one little boy. Listen, David still kills Goliath. You know, I've been telling you that thing again and again. I've heard Christians say that, no, you can't do it. The forces are too much. I said, you call yourself a believer. Why are you a Christian now? Christianity is not about dancing to church. I'll talk about cheerful giver today. What I mean is I want to talk about cheerful giving. He said, be a cheerful giver. When you're giving your offering, you dance. I said, listen, dancing does not make you a cheerful giver. You can close your eyes, refuse to smile, give an offering, and you're a cheerful giver. And you can dance from now till tomorrow, and God says, see the most sorrowful giver coming forth. I always say, every Christian who's giving with a label, this money, go forth and go and bring me a reward. It's not a cheerful giver. Go and read my tract so that I will spare myself the time, all right, of teaching it. Go and read my tract. If you don't have a physical copy, download it from our website, all right? Cheerful giver. I have a tract like that. Cheerful giver is an attitude of the heart. It's not something that is outside. Are you getting my point? Listen, the Bible says that God looks on what? The heart. He looks inside. He doesn't look outside. Therefore, when God says God loves a cheerful giver, when the Bible says that, it means that what God calls cheerful is not seen outside. Primarily. That's not where it starts from. There's an attitude of the heart. Why did I say that? So people will say they are Christians. Being a believer is not about going to church. Being a believer is not about the denomination you name the name. There are people who think God has a special place for them in heaven because of the church that they go to. And who is the general overseer over them? Who is the general superintendent over their denomination? They think that is a passport for being special before God. That's not what Christianity is. Real Christianity is that I'm about to enter into politics. And they say the parties are too big. The people are arrayed against you. They are too mighty. And I refuse to fear. And I tell the person simply, you have forgotten the story of David and Goliath. The Bible said those things were recorded for my learning. A believer that's afraid to do things in life is a believer that's planning to die young. That God will soon get tired. He talked about, I think, the sons of Ephraim. Was it Ephraim? Or is it Issachar? Which one of them were armed in the day of battle and then they drew back and broke the covenant of God because they were afraid. You know what he said to Jeremiah? He said, don't be afraid of them. If you're afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. I told you before, you've given your life to Christ, you are in trouble. Do you understand my point? Once you leave Egypt, this is the order of God, you must enter the promised land. Otherwise, you die in the wilderness. You have given your life to Christ, you are in trouble. You are not in my trouble. You have to finish the race. Otherwise, you die in the wilderness. And why don't people finish the race? They say there are giants in the land. You know, that's what killed them in the wilderness. There are giants in the land. We can't take the land. No, the desire in my heart, the vision I have for this life is just that it's all about governance. Enter politics, become a politician, enter a political office, and turn around these things in Nigeria. So why are you not doing it? Why are you still working in this telecom company or this oil company where they are paying you fast salary? He said, you know, these people, they will never allow you. They will never allow you. They won't allow you. If you are not a member of that, I say, is it people that will allow you? Did you not read that the heavens rule in the affairs of men? And the Almighty gives the kingdoms of men over to whosoever he wishes and sets upon them the lowliest of men. You never heard of that before? That the Bible says that times and seasons, Daniel was explaining, are in his hands. He establishes kings and he removes kings. Listen to me. PDP does not make presidents. God does. Are you getting what I'm saying? American Democratic Party does not make presidents. God does. There's no human being on earth that makes a leader. It is God that makes a leader. Are you getting my point? And if you do that which is right, God can place you anywhere. It's just that, you see, one of the problems we have had, why God doesn't strengthen our faith. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained how, why God and how he strengthens people's faith. I explained it. Why did I explain it? That if your motive is wrong, God doesn't give you the spirit of faith. That's part of our problem. We have looked at a politician as a rich man. That's why God has not strengthened our faith to take over from them. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, it's very important we get the point. Every part of life is a ministry. It's not only the preacher that's a minister. You are a minister. I want to do something for me. Tap your chest and say, I am a minister. I am a minister of God. I am on assignment for Christ Jesus. And listen to me, that doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. For a long time, people have thought that as a preacher, as a minister, what is going to happen is that you must be a preacher. So everybody who wants to enter the call of God must resign his job and go and start pastoring a church or become a branch pastor. I have seen branch pastors before that will look at them and say, this man is doing this job because he wants to please God. He doesn't know that God is as angry with him as he can possibly be with a child of God for being in this office. Please, I don't have all the time in this short seminar to teach everything. I tried my best to write extensively in the book how to work for God. Therefore, I'm recommending that you read it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that just expanding a bit and reviewing some of the things we said yesterday. I said we should open to a point of the scripture just now, right? Romans chapter 8. All right. Yesterday, I ended by talking about the work of God, the one that's most important. There are two spheres in which you look at the work of God. There's a sphere of it that's inside, and there's a sphere of it that is outside. And they came to Jesus in John chapter 6. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe on him who he has sent. That is, the work of God is first in the heart. It's about the ability to believe and the effort to put our hearts in a place where God wants it to be. Romans chapter 8. Let me just start from verse 28. Where I'm going is verse 29. He said, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now let's read verse 29. He said, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. There's only one line I want to bring up from here, why I read this, verse 29. It said, you are destined to become conformed to the image of his son. Quickly, all right, put something there and go to the book of Hebrews. I want to read something from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. If you are there, quickly go to verse 22. Now, there was a, let me start from verse 18, but I'll just continue to, I'll jump down to verse 22. From verse 18, just to get it in context. It said, for you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and all of that. You're now going down to verse 22 to see exactly where you have come to. It said, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men or just men made perfect. Please, I want to read that verse 23, something in verse 23 again. It said, we have come to the spirits of righteous or just men made perfect. Now, there's something I want to bring up from these two scriptures, all right, that I have read. Now, let me just say the things I want to say, because like I said, I'm mindful of my time, that I don't have too much of it to say many things that we may want to say. Let me just try and be quick. I said something yesterday, that God does not judge like men judge. Are you getting my point? God said, I look at the heart before I judge whatever people are doing. The heart is what I look at first. Now, please bear that one in mind. Now, let me ask you a question. If you say you want to work for me, what's the first thing you ask me? Just think about it for a second. If you leave your house, you say, today I feel like honoring the man of God. I want to go and work for Pastor Banky. And you get to my house, or get to my office, what's the first thing you ask